Colossians 2 and the verse 7 will form the words of our text. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. A stable Christian walk, Christian stability, steadfastness, steadiness in the Christian path. These are the themes that come to our notice in the text before us just now. When a sinner receives Christ as Savior and as Lord, as Paul describes it there in the verse 6, ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, there is an immediate and an ongoing change of life. Or as Paul puts it here, there is a difference in walk. He's speaking about a lifestyle, a walk through this world that is altered by the reception of Christ as Savior and Lord. I make no distinction between those two titles of Christ as far as the timing of receiving the Savior is concerned. Some say that you can receive Him as Savior and then at a later time receive Him as Lord. That's very bad theology. When Christ is received as Savior, He is received as Lord. It is the Lord Jesus who saves. To accept Christ as Savior, inferred in that and part of that, is to accept Him as Lord and Master in all things. It is to bow the knee before the Savior as our King. And that will show itself in our walk. We have received Christ and we are to walk in a particular fashion. A lifestyle of communion with God, of fellowship with the Savior, is the norm for the Christian. That is Christian living. That is a Christian walk. It is fellowship with Christ. A growing stability, an increasingly steadfast, stable conformity to the teaching of Scripture will mark the life of every genuine convert to Christ. This is what Paul indicates here. You have received Christ. And then there is a walk that follows on from that reception of Christ. And that walk is characterized by the marks that are referred to in the words of our text: rooted, built up, established, and abounding in this steadfastness with thanksgiving. That is the Christian life in a nutshell, beginning with the reception of Christ, in surrender to Him and to His Lordship, walking in Him, rooted in Him, and growing in stability and steadfastness. However, the sad thing is that with reference to many professing Christians today, it has to be said of them, as Jacob said of his firstborn son Reuben, that they are as unstable as water, and therefore do not and cannot excel. They do not progress in the faith because of instability. They do not and cannot excel in their Christian calling because of the evil of instability in the Christian life. Now that's true on a personal level within our own personal experience. Very often instability is evidenced. But that instability is magnified and multiplied when you have congregations of unstable Christians gathering together. That instability becomes all the more grievous and all the more serious and all the more harmful. No Christian stands in isolation from other believers. And where you have a Christian that is unstable in his own personal life and personal walk, and then you add that instability in among others that are unstable, then you have great difficulties indeed. You have a church that becomes unstable. And if, to use an illustration, you have a little pile of bricks in the garden that become unstable, if you've got three or four, well, that's a problem. But if you have a whole house of bricks that become unstable, then you have a much bigger problem, a much more dangerous problem. And this is something that affects the whole fabric of the Church of Christ increasingly in these days. Bad enough to see the personal effects of instability, but much worse to see that instability affecting whole churches and entire congregations. Paul deals with an issue that is vital to personal holiness and to the experience of joy and comfort in the Christian's personal life. But he's dealing with an issue here that has vital significance for the well-being of the church at large. Stability is something that we must personally pursue for, after, and something that we must pray that God works in grace in his church at large. That there would be a rooting and a building up in him and an establishment in the faith. And I'd like for us to consider these words then and to think of what the apostle here has to say of a stable Christian walk. First of all, let's just notice the concept of stability that he refers to here and its basis in the Christian's life. The concept of stability and its basis in the life of the Christian. There are two expressions that he uses. First of all, rooted and built up in him, and then secondly, established in the faith. Now these are very important and significant expressions that he uses. Rooted and built up in him. He blends two pictures together here to convey composite truth about this stability that he desires to see in these believers. A stable Christian, or stable Christian living, is the product of a root connection to Christ. That is evident from the picture that he's using here. This composite picture in the first expression, the first word, rooted, brings us to consider a plant or a tree, some living plant with a root. The second part of the picture leads us into the area of construction and the building of a house. But he begins with the root of the plant. And that's where stable Christian living begins, where there is a root connection to Christ. What is the root? It is that part of the plant, usually secret and hidden below the ground, out of sight, that hidden means of tapping into the resources, all the resources that the plant needs for life and for health and for growth. And stable Christianity depends upon having what, to borrow the words of Job, it's having the root of the matter within us. That spiritual infrastructure, that spiritual ability to tap into Christ and to draw from him every resource that is necessary for spiritual life and health. That's where Christianity and Christian stability begins. It is necessary to have a root. You know how that the Lord Jesus, in the course of that most familiar of his parables, where he speaks of the four types of ground, that the sower, in the course of sowing seed on the good ground, inevitably he scattered some seeds on the wayside, on the stony ground, and among thorns. Even as he aimed to sow the good ground, there were some seeds that fell on these other types of ground. And you know from the parable that the seed that fell on the stony ground sprang up quickly, but it didn't bring forth any fruit, and ultimately it withered and died under the withering effect of the sun, symbolic of troubles and trials and the persecutions that come to those who profess Christ. But it withered away because it had no root. There was no root there. There was nothing there by way of a living connection with Christ. That's the spiritual message of that part of the parable. Now in this chapter 2 of Colossians, the apostle is emphasizing that matter of union with Christ. It's here presented to us under a picture of being rooted in Him, of having grown down into Him as the plant, germinating, putting out the little root, usually growing down before it grows up, putting out the little root, and then the root system beginning to develop and to grow down into the earth and drawing the water and the minerals from the earth that it needs in order then to grow upwards. And the root system growing down, taking hold of the earth until perhaps, if we think of a tree growing from a seedling, year after year after year, that root structure developing and growing and becoming increasingly secure and strong as the roots go down and take a deeper hold in the earth. And Paul is saying here that this stability begins with a root. Christian living begins with a root connection to Christ. That secret, hidden union of the soul with Christ, before there is anything visible above the ground, as it were, there is a vital connection to Christ in the secret, hidden man of the heart, and there is that developing infrastructure in the soul whereby I am linked to Jesus Christ and I draw from Him all that I need to live and to develop and to have spiritual health. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 3. And it's always interesting to compare these two epistles. They contain very many similar statements. And in Ephesians chapter 3 in the verse 17, look at Paul's prayer. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. And then he goes on to enumerate some other petitions. But let's just think of the words that he uses in this verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, rooted, grounded in the love of God and the gospel. Here is this thought of the root again. And the consequence of having this root, this being rooted and grounded in gospel truth, is that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. This rooting of faith linked with the exercise of faith, this rooting in the gospel and in gospel truth, is the means of drawing Christ into our soul, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He in His fullness, drawn into our hearts, as it were, because we are rooted in Him. The root is the means. It's a picture of that spiritual means that is imparted when God brings the sinner into union with Christ. There is structure created within the soul whereby Christ is drawn into my heart. Whereby I, through the exercise of faith, like the plant drawing through its roots all that it needs, I can draw Christ in His fullness into my own soul. And that is an essential ingredient of stable Christian living, rooted. There will be no stability in the Christian life unless there is that functioning root. Of course, we can back up and say there's no real Christianity without the existence of that root. But allowing for that as a presupposition, that that root is in place, there will be no stability unless that root function is exercised, working and healthy, and drawing Christ into the heart, rooted in Christ. That, if you like, as Paul begins here to teach us a little about Christian stability, that's the secret, hidden work of the heart that is a key component in Christian stability. You see, stability in the Christian life and steadfastness in the things of God begins in secret. It has a secret source, this root. It's not all about external things, although as we shall see, that comes very quickly into play. But it begins in the heart. It springs out of a root connection to Jesus Christ. The question is then, how healthy are your spiritual roots? That's what it's about. That's where Christian stability springs out of. That's where a steadfast Christian is made, because of the state of his roots, spiritually speaking. Are you rooted in him? Are you developing that root structure? Because obviously that's what Paul has in view here. The root is in existence. They're Christians. They're believers. They've been brought into union with Christ. That root is there. But if you keep in mind the picture of, and I think probably at some point in our schooling we all did those kind of experiments where we, you know, you put a bean in a glass jar and you watch the root grow. And it doesn't look like very much at the start. But it develops, grows, it spreads, and there's an increasing development there below the ground. That's what Paul is speaking about here when he says rooted. It's not just the mere existence of a connection between you and Christ. It is the development of that connection, the growing of that connection. But stable Christianity is also a building upon Christ as the only foundation, rooted and built up in him. Rooted in him, and then quickly switching his metaphors, built up in him. Now we get to the part that's above the ground. We're getting to the building of the superstructure. As I've said, we've changed metaphors now. If the root is like the foundation, now we're moving to the superstructure of the building, built up in him. And the stability and steadfastness that he has in view here is simply something that we see worked out for us by way of illustration constantly in the world of construction. It is just the methodical, steady building up of the superstructure of a house upon a foundation. One of the key principles in construction is the whole matter of stability. It has to be a stable structure. It has to be, even in the process of the construction, it has to be that stability is a key issue. So in the rate of progress and how much is built or constructed in one day, stability is a key issue. Can't press on in one particular area of the structure at the expense of causing the whole thing to become unstable. Here is a building, methodical, steady, built on a foundation. It's according to a clearly drawn blueprint. It is edification. That's the spiritual parallel that's in view here. The edification, the building up of the Christian, methodically, according to the blueprint that is set out for us in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul again uses this picture of building upon a foundation. The foundation is Christ. He makes that plain in 1 Corinthians 3 in the verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now Paul has other lessons in mind here in the words that we have read. But nevertheless, he is indicating very clearly there's one foundation. That foundation is the apostolic doctrine of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ as it is defined and explained in apostolic teaching. That's the foundation. But we're to build upon that. The foundation has been laid. If you're a Christian, the foundation has been laid. That's the foundation stone. Behold, I have laid in Zion for a foundation, a sure cornerstone, even Christ himself. That's what we are to build upon. And Christian stability is the methodical construction of a Christian life that is built upon, solidly upon, singly upon Christ himself. Constant reference to Christ is the key in what Paul is speaking of here. He is the foundation, and you know that a house is defined by its foundation. You can't build any more than what the foundation permits. If you build it bigger than the foundation, you're not on the foundation. If you build it in some way that somehow ignores the parameters and the limitations of the foundation, it's destined to fall. It's not going to be stable. If a construction company decides to put in a foundation for a certain type of building, and then when they've that done, they change the plans and they build a much heavier structure or a much bigger structure, it's not going to work. It's going to fall. There has to be constant reference to what the foundation demands, what it limits us to, what it will bear. The foundation dictates the character and the nature of the superstructure. And that's what stable Christianity is all about. It is a constant referencing of the life to Christ and the building up on that foundation of the superstructure of Christian living that is demanded in the Word of God. Now that's what Paul is calling for here in this first expression. Rooted and then built up. The secret work and then the open public work of building a life that is clearly conformed to Christ as the foundation of the soul. But then he uses a second expression, established in the faith. The concept of stability then is conveyed in these two expressions. The first one we've already considered. The second now, established in the faith. Established and made firm. That's the idea that's in the word here. Made firm in what God has revealed for us to believe. That's what the faith is. The faith here is that body of doctrine, that body of teaching that God has revealed for us to believe. That's technically what he means by the expression the faith. Simply, we can say, he's talking about the Scriptures. He's talking about the Gospel. He's talking about all that God has ever revealed and preserved for us in His Word. That is what the faith is. And as God's Word is embraced by faith, and as that faith develops into a firm conviction, then stability is seen. Stability depends upon our view of the faith. Established in the faith. Stability is simply the product of a believing embrace of God's Word, the exercise of faith in what God has revealed. We must know the Scripture, but we must take God at His Word. We must believe God's Word. We must accept it as true. We must rest upon it as the firm foundation of our soul. We come to the point, sirs, I believe God, where Paul came to. I believe God. It doesn't matter what the circumstances will say. It doesn't matter what popular opinion will say. I believe God. That's where Christian stability comes from. It is the exercise of faith in God's Word, taking God simply at His Word and acting unwaveringly according to the direction of God's Word. That it doesn't matter what the trends of society are. God has said it, I believe it, and I'm doing it. That's Christian steadfastness, established in the faith. Now this is a work of grace. We need to recognize this. It's not just something that we can accomplish in our own strength or by our own efforts. It's not something that comes down to a particular type of personality. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Interesting thing, the verse 20, the previous verse. All the promises of God in him, that's in Christ, are yea and amen. And the word amen has the idea of a solid foundation. Faithful word. You can build on it. You can take God at His Word. And here is the link between the Word of God and this establishment. The promises of God are yea and amen, and he which establisheth us with you in Christ is God. It's a work of God. It's a work of grace. As we come to the Word, we need to pray that the Lord establishes us in the faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse or different and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. It is grace that establishes the heart. It is grace that makes a Christian stable and steadfast in the things of God. So this then is the concept of stability that he sets before us, rooted and built up in him, and the basis of that stability in the Christian life is Christ and his word, doctrines of the faith. But let's notice secondly the role that teaching plays in Christian stability. The role of teaching and instruction. Now Paul refers very obviously here to what they have been taught. What they have been taught. Now, this is really just an extension of his thought in the reference there to being established in the faith. As I've said, the faith is that body of doctrine that has been revealed by God for us to believe. And as an extension of that idea, he says, now as ye have been taught, this revelation that God has revealed to be believed was taught to them. And teaching plays a key role in this matter of stable Christianity. The apostolic revelation of Christ is the teaching that is in view here. This is what he describes as the faith. It's the apostolic teaching and preaching and writing of Christ and his gospel. They had been taught. Paul himself had not personally been present to teach them, but evidently others had been. They had been taught in the faith. And this stability that he is urging upon them is vitally linked to the instruction that they had received. Look at chapter 1 and the verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The apostolic preaching of Christ. And as I've said, Paul hadn't come personally to them. But this is what he preached in common with the other apostles. This gospel that in verse 23, the parallel terms are the faith and the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached. The preaching of Christ crucified and the doctrines of redemption, why, that's the faith. And that's the basis of Christian stability. As believers are instructed in the gospel and as they continue in gospel teaching and gospel doctrine, they're made stable, they're established, they're rooted, and they're built up in Christ. Look at Romans chapter 16, the verse 25. Now, and this is a doxology at the end of his epistle, it's an expression of praise. Now to him, that's to Christ, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. All of these expressions go together just to say this is what the faith is. The faith is that body of gospel doctrine revealed in the prophets, preached by the apostles, preached by the apostles of Christ to the ends of the earth, that gospel that has power to establish you. The working of Christ through the gospel to establish his people is what Paul is referring to here. In Jude chapter 1 and the verse 3, again you have the apostle there referring to the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's that once for all revelation, that body of doctrine that we have in our Bibles. And as that doctrine is taught, there will be a rooting and an establishing of the people of God in Christ. This is where Christian stability springs out of, the instruction of the Word of God. Today we have churches running all kinds of programs and seminars to try to make stable Christians. It's all a waste of time. The book of God, given by God to men and to be received by faith, is the basis of Christian stability. We need to be taught in the Word. The more we know of the Word, the more instruction in the Word that we are exposed to, the more stable we will be in our Christian walk. Ignorance and unbelief of the Scriptures makes believers unstable. That is obviously an inference here in Paul's words, and it's the clear statement of other passages of Scripture. Again, going back to Ephesians and the familiar words of chapter 4, where Paul speaks in the verse 14 of those who are children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ignorance makes men unstable. Ignorance of the Word of God. Unbelief of the Scriptures, even where in many instances we may know what the Bible teaches, but as we do not believe what God has said, there is not that conviction, there is not stability. We see those who are blown about today with every wind of doctrine, because either they're ignorant of what God's Word teaches or they simply refuse to accept. And that lack of biblical instruction is the cause of wavering, hesitancy, and instability in many a Christian's life. And teaching that is contrary to the Scriptures, to take it a step further, is subversive and destabilizing in the Christian life. Because as Paul is writing here, he goes on immediately to warn them in the verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Beware, beware. There is a danger. You see, Paul is counteracting the subversive effects of error. This philosophy, this vain deceit, this traditions of men, this rudiments of the world, and there he's referring to the legalistic Levitical practices of Judaizers that had infiltrated the church to try to bring these Gentiles under the laws of Moses. That's what he's speaking about there, the rudiments of the world. And he's saying, beware, because this is dangerous. This will unsettle, destabilize you as a Christian. You not only need to be taught in the Word of God, you need to be warned against error. You need to flee error. You need to beware of all of these philosophies and other doctrines that will be pressed upon you. Why? Because they destabilize the Christian. Oh, that God would bring us and bring his people at large to the point where they utterly refuse to listen to the devil's garbage. So many of God's people take all of this nonsense on board and their ears are flapping in the breeze to anything that the devil sees to blow into them, and they're carried away with it. Instead of having ears that are tuned only to the Word of God and only to Christ, and a heart that's closed, nothing wrong with a closed mind, you know. It's spoken of in a derogatory fashion today. Oh, you have a closed mind. You're right. I have a closed mind. I don't want to let in there anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Just as I put a lid on my jam to keep the flies out, I close my mind to the stuff that's blowing in the breezes of the world. Why should I want to know? It only has a destabilizing effect. I want to know Christ crucified. That's what will make me steadfast in the faith. Let's quickly just take in some scriptures to you see some of the things that are written in Scripture about the destabilizing effect of false teaching. It's not something to be played with, you know. It's not something to be fooled around with. To play around with false doctrine and to flirt with teaching that is contrary to Scripture is about as sensible as fooling around with a backhoe or an excavator when you're trying to build a house and just sort of tickle the foundation a little bit with it. You end up tearing the thing down. That's the effect that false doctrine has. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 And the verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Now, slightly different pictures and metaphors used here, but the same idea. Nourished up, strong, stable, steadfast, a grown-up, mature Christian. If you put them in remembrance, a going over and over and over and over of the cardinal truths of the doctrines of Christ, that's what is the evidence in Timothy's case of a stable Christian minister, and that's what will produce stable Christian congregations. Putting them in remembrance of these things. And then he goes on, verse 7, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. The old wives' tales, profane, old wives' fables. It's a wonderful way of describing the errors and the doctrine, falsehood, false doctrine that Timothy would encounter. Refuse them and stick to the things of the gospel and the things of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 17. And again, verse 16. Well, go back up to verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what he's to teach. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, two men who are a case in point, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. There's the subversive effect of false teaching. It's like a gangrene or a cancer. It destroys. It eats away. There's no stability, there's no strength, there's no steadfastness where such teaching is at work. No, we need to give attention to the doctrines that God has revealed in His Word. As we are taught of the doctrines of the faith, we will be established in the Christian life. The final thought is this: stability is to be abundantly and joyfully evident in the Christian, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, stability is something that is subject to growth and to development. Like every other aspect of sanctification, it is a work in progress. It develops. There is to be an abounding in this stability and steadfastness. The idea is of increase, development, of an overflowing. That's what abounding is. An overflowing. Growing and increasing. It's not instantly achieved. We're not stable overnight any more than when you plant an acorn, it becomes a stable oak tree overnight. There's a long process at work. The developing of the root, the developing of the structure above the ground, and there is a growing, constantly progressing in steadfastness and stability. We are to abound. Are you abounding in this stability? Are you developing? Are you more stable now than you were last year as a Christian? Is your root structure more fully developed? Are you drawing more of Christ into the soul? Is the superstructure more developed? Or has there been no progress made on the building of that house, on the foundation? We are to abound. We are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Progressive stability is something that will be observed. You see here in verse 5, Paul says, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. It's visible. Now, had Paul been there in person, he could have seen it. But even though he's not there, he can see it, as it were, in the eye of his mind as he hears the reports coming back from this church. I can see it. It's evident, it's obvious, an increasing steadfastness indicated by the way in which they lived for the Lord, their adherence to the doctrines of the faith. Stability is generally visible. You can generally look at a structure and say whether or not it's stable. You can look at a chair And if there's only two legs in contact with the ground, and it's sort of just balanced there and nothing more, you know it's not stable. You can tell at a glance, I'm not going to sit on that thing because it's not going to take my weight. It's not stable. Whereas if you look at something that is strong and it's nicely reinforced, and you know if I sit on that thing, I know that will hold me up. You can look at a house. If it's all higgledy-piggledy and bits missing out of it, you know that thing's not going to stand. We've all seen our children probably build these wonderful structures out of Lego or some other kind of bricks and blocks. And you know as you see the thing developing, it's not going to go very far because it's not stable. It's not built to be a stable structure. And you know very often you can tell at a glance, looking at a Christian, they're not stable. There's certain key things that are missing. They're not at the prayer meeting. They're not under the instruction of God's Word. They're not giving attention to these things. And the key developments and the key building blocks of the Christian life are not there. And they're sort of just coggled together and just balancing and nothing more. Paul says, I can see it. I can see it even just in the descriptions of your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. A stable Christian will always give evidence of that stability. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. And that increasing stability will always be a cause of joy. It was a joy to the apostle as he witnessed it. He joyed as he beheld your order, verse 5. He rejoiced in the stability that was evident in these believers. They had been taught in the things of God. They were rooted in Christ. They were growing and developing in the faith. And that brought joy to the apostle's heart. But it also brings joy to those who are stable Christians themselves. Not only to those looking on from the outside, but there's a personal experience of joy, as our text indicates, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's joy. Oh, there's a recognition of the mercy and grace of God, and a thanking of the Lord, a delighting in Christ, a rejoicing in Him. There's joy. Stable Christianity is the course of joy. For the Christian. Stability. You know how even in the ordinary things of life, instability brings insecurity. It brings misery. It brings distress. It brings heartache. Whereas someone who is of a more stable character, generally speaking, lives with confidence and with joy in life. Things don't disturb them the way they disturb others. Because they're of a more stable disposition. They're not blown to extremes of anxiety and distress and care. So it is in the Christian life. Where there is stability, just built on Christ, founded on Him, building methodically a life that conforms to Christ as our foundation, rooted in Him, drawing into our soul all that we need from Him. That brings joy. Life will bring its challenges and its trials, but they will not be as distressing for the Christian that is stably built on Christ and stably living for Him. Let me close with the words of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17. Well, let's read verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. And establish you in every good word and work. You see what goes along with the establishing? There's comfort of heart, there's everlasting consolation, and there's good hope. Those are the things that accompany Christian stability. As we are rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, there will be an abounding in joy and in thanksgiving. Maybe that's why you don't have the joy that you could have, because we're not as stable as we should be. The more stable we are in our Christian living, the more joyful our Christian life will be. May the Lord write His word in our hearts for Jesus' sake.